On this edition of Real Family Talk, we'll discuss how parents can bolster their child's math learning during the pandemic and beyond.
Join us for this very important and enlightening discussion today on Real Family Talk. School closures and transitions in and out of virtual learning have affected students' learning, particularly in math. Dr. Nadia Nosworthy, a specialist in math learning, believes that COVID-19 has layered on even more stress to the average student as they try to overcome academic challenges coupled with the lack of social interaction they would normally get at school.
We're delighted to have Dr. Nosworthy joining us today. She serves as an assistant professor in the Department of Graduate Psychology and Counseling at Andrews University in Michigan. In this position, she serves as the program coordinator of the Educational Psychology Program and advises both master's and doctoral students. Her research interest is in the area of childhood numeracy, specifically how children develop basic numeracy skills in the primary grades and how these skills relate to individual differences in mathematical competency. Welcome, Dr. Nosworthy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So we want to get right into it. What are the academic challenges that students face in general during COVID-19?
Well, one of the major things that we are concerned about with students is falling behind. Right. With this academic challenge of the pandemic, we have students who are not in their natural learning environment, which is a classroom with their teachers. So now they are at home and they might not have access to the resources that they need. So we have this term that we use, the COVID slide. Right. In regular academic time, we have students who fall behind due to summer vacation that they might be experiencing, and they're out of school for 2 months, and we do see a summer slide, but now this COVID slide can also be a challenge.
Wow.
Also children.
Yeah, Go ahead. Just, you know, not to interrupt you there, but the COVID slide, are you saying that would then be on top of what would happen during the summer?
It could be a little bit more profound. Actually, so we see children, if they've experienced a natural disaster, such as Hurricane Katrina that happened, right? Students were out of school. And it's not just the summer, because with the summer, you're out of school and it's a fun time, you're on vacation, but now it's the pandemic. So there's the added layer of the stress of a pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. And that can also start affecting how children are learning and doing in school.
That's really something to think about. So what about academic challenges students are facing specifically in math? What's that like?
Yeah. So with math specifically, we're seeing that children's scores are falling more in math than in any other subject, like reading, for example. And one of the reasons this can be is that students, they don't have access to their teachers. So the resources that one would need, first of all, internet connection and maybe access to YouTube videos to help explain math. Also, teachers who are trying to teach math remotely, they might not have the materials needed to be able to teach their lessons adequately because some math components really need the one-to-one and the teacher there to work with the student to go over concepts that they're not understanding. And during the pandemic, that just isn't available, right? So you have some students now, they're starting to fall behind, and especially in math because of these challenges. And on top of that, the pandemic is causing some stress and anxiety. I think a little later we'll talk about math anxiety. And when you have a situation like the pandemic, that can increase levels of anxiety towards math, a subject that children might be struggling with to begin with.
That really is something. Truly, math is where most people have some phobias about. I can remember being a grade school student and perhaps even high school. And while learning came quite easily, math just seems like a different language and needs like, it needs having someone next to you sometimes to walk you through some of these steps, as you have pointed out. So yeah, we could see how this could be a challenge to students who are learning remotely.
So when we're talking about this math learning loss, I mean, how much math learning will students really lose? Because we know that in the U.S., when we look at studies, U.S. children are already ranking behind when it comes to math and science, behind other developed nations. So what are we talking about, this math learning? Like, how much are we talking about? And how concerned should we be as parents or educators?
So there is a math testing organization, the NWEA, and they, not just math testing, but looking at reading scores and math scores in children. So they collect data from millions of students. And in September 2019, they did collect math growth in students and in elementary school students, and also reading growth in elementary school students in 2019. And then in fall 2020, which was just this past fall, they looked at these same scores in children. And what they're finding is that overall, children are still making gains in reading, and they haven't fallen behind so much in reading. But in math, they've fallen by 5 to 10% in their math abilities. And when you have children who are already 1 to 2 years behind before the pandemic, now they're looking at being 9 to 11 months behind. So this is something of concern, especially if you have a child with learning disabilities or they struggle. So, you know, when we're moving forward now into the school year, because still as of February 2021, about 42% of children were still learning remotely and they're not fully back in school yet. So when these children get back to school, the real work has to begin. And again, these scores aren't able to look at all students because the NWEA uses computer-based testing, and not all children have access to computers at home. Wow. So we don't really have a true understanding of the impact of the pandemic as yet. But for math in particular, that's where most of the loss is taking place.
Well, that is truly significant. I'd like to follow up with why might pandemic learning loss be worse in math than other subjects?
Yeah, so again, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but it's really, I think one of the main things too, is that you have children now, they're having to learn on their own. And there's just something like, for me as a professor, I miss being in the classroom and having my students in front of me. There's something about seeing their facial expressions and how they're feeling. Are they grasping the concept? Are they not grasping the concept? And I can be right there and I can walk over and see how they're doing. But with remote learning, you're not able to do that. So you might send a few YouTube videos and the students are clicking on it and they might fill out worksheets, but you're not able to ask those questions for them to ask themselves, like metacognitively, am I really understanding this concept?
Right.
And that is missing.
Absolutely.
In terms of math. So I think in math, it's really where it's hard hit the most because math is cumulative, right? So it builds on, you know, you have your ground foundation and then the next. So if you miss the lesson on reducing fractions, then the next day when you were trying to continue on that track, you've already missed yesterday's lesson.
And so you're lost.
And that's, yeah, it's a big loss. So if you have students who are missing, you know, 2 months of math, that's a huge loss.
That certainly
is. Right?
That certainly is. Well, after a short break, Dr. Nosworthy will discuss what parents can do to help their children with math at home. Stay with us. Studies show that as many as 1 in 5 U.S. adults report severe math anxiety. Tell us, Dr. Nosworthy, what is math anxiety? Where does it come from? And what can be done about it?
So math anxiety is a fear or a feeling of apprehension when one is engaged in a number-related situation. So these are individuals who know how to do math. They know how to add, they know how to subtract, they can multiply. But when they are faced with a situation and they have to perform a number operation, they tend to freeze and they're feeling inadequate and thinking, you know, I really can't do this. And this can start happening. You can see this in kids. Maybe they're in a testing situation, and because of the testing situation, it increases their anxiety. And then all of a sudden, they're unable to perform well. Time tests. This is individuals who have to calculate tip under pressure at a restaurant, right? So it really is just this feel of apprehension and fear when you are having to do math. So he was asking, where does it come from? And there are many ideas. It's most likely an environmental influence. So you might have math anxiety in the classroom. So unfortunately, we have teachers that have math anxiety and unknowingly can transfer it to their students. We have students who are at home and math is, you know, told to them that it is a difficult subject. It's a hard subject. So it's something that they fear. It's something that they avoid.
So basically, you're saying that people become numerophobic.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the way of saying it.
So which comes first, though? The anxiety or the dealing with the numerals? You know, like, how does it start? Why math? You know, why would this anxiety? Because we do see it more. And there is this term in society, math anxiety, as you were saying, even calculating a tip at a restaurant, you know. How does a child begin to develop an anxiety about doing numbers?
Yeah, I think when math anxiety was first being researched, you know, they started researching at the college level. And then they're thinking, okay, we see these college students, so when did it start? And then they started looking and investigating math anxiety in high school students. And they started seeing math anxiety in high school students. And they were wondering, how far does this go back? And we're actually seeing that children in grade one start developing this anxiety for math. And I think perhaps it's the way that math is viewed even in our society, where math is something that is unique. Not everyone can be good at math, which is a lie. And perhaps in school, you know, the way that math is taught, it's a lot of, it can be a lot of drill. And if you haven't memorized your multiplication tables, which is important, right? So I'm not saying that that's not important, but the way in which it's done under time pressure, right? And if you don't have someone at home to go over that with you and you're coming to school the next day, then you're like, oh no, here is the multiple times tables test that I'm not prepared for. And we don't race kids against the clock to read, but we do that for them when we're teaching them math. Right? So we're making it as if, you know, if you can do a math problem quickly, that means that you're smart. And that's just not true. Mathematicians will tell you they can work on problems for hours, for years, they're working on math problems. So this idea of speed as being, you know, an identifier that you can do math well, and that's the only way that you can demonstrate that you can do math well, just isn't true. So we want children to be fluent. We want them to do well on their multiplication tables. Those are important. So I'm not negating that. But using it as the main tool of getting children to learn and to do well, I think we have to be careful.
What an amazing point. What an amazing point. Mm-hmm. All right. So we want to move on, though, because I know you have a thing about parents with their math anxiety. And how can a parent then avoid passing on math anxiety to their child?
So number one, stop telling your children that math is hard. Please.
Say it again.
Stop it. Right? Stop telling your children that math is hard. This is something that is just dear to my heart. Any kind of talk that I give to teachers, to parents, I'm like, stop telling your children this. Math, it's better to say, yeah, math is challenging. Let's work on this together. And stop this idea of you just don't have a math brain. If you have a brain, you have a math brain, right? And this idea that you need a math gene and you have to inherit the ability to be good at math. Those are all not true, right? You have some children who might have a love of numbers more than others, just like some children love to paint more than others and some love music more than others. but there is the ability there for you to be able to work with numbers. And as parents, even if you don't like math, fake it, right? Let kids know, hey, it's time for math homework. Put a smile on your face and let's go. Don't pass that attitude on to your child. And you'll find that you'll probably start enjoying math too.
That's such a good point. Oh my goodness. I love what you just said about the fact that if you have a brain, you can do math. And I think it's so important that children learn that. You know, when you talk about the time test, I distinctly remember going to first grade, second grade, and feeling like I didn't know my times tables. And I was fortunate. I had a grandmother who didn't have more than an eighth grade education, but she told me I could do it. And she had an old abacus. And she said, you know, you just do these things. And she showed me this thing. And then she said, just memorize it. Just keep it. This is what she told me. I don't even know that she really had all of that math, but I was really fortunate. And so I think it's important, parents, to hear what Dr. Nosworthy is saying about not telling your children you can't do math and fake it until you love it yourself. So after a short break, Dr. Nosworthy will share helpful resources and tips for parents to make math fun. Stay with us. Today we are discussing students' math anxiety and how parents can bolster math learning. Dr. Nosworthy, before we went to break, we were talking about the fact that any child can do math, but we also know that there are some cases where students do have particular disabilities, perhaps, around math. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. So we just finished speaking about math anxiety, and in most of the cases, children with math anxiety do not have a math disability per se, right? They do understand number concepts, and if they're not under a pressure situation, they can demonstrate that they understand numbers. But there are cases of children such as those with dyscalculia. So that is a math disability. So perhaps you've heard of dyslexia. Well, dyscalculia affects children in ways where they really have a difficult time understanding numbers. So, you know, and if earlier I mentioned that if you have a brain, you can do math, but I also don't want to overlook that there really are children who do struggle with math, and there are interventions that can be used to help these group of children.
Right, but we shouldn't assume that if our child has a little bit of anxiety that they have a disability around math,
right?
That it might just be math anxiety and that they do have the ability. And of course, probably if a parent is really concerned, they should seek help from a psychologist or maybe their school counselor to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah. So speaking to the teacher, see what the teacher observes, and then maybe taking it to a school psychologist for testing.
So what activities can parents do at home to help their children with this anxiety?
Yeah. So you can make math fun and to include it in your everyday talk. And this is really easy, especially in elementary school levels and early elementary school. And that's my area of focus, because I think if we get children in those early grades excited about math, then as they continue in school, it'll be a lot easier for them to love math and to do well. So don't negate this idea of including number in your conversation with students or with your child. Right. So instead of saying, oh, pass me some forks, hey, how about you give me three forks, especially the little kids, and we're counting three. Or when you're engaging in baking, baking is really great with fractions, and we're adding 2 quarter cups. And how much is that altogether? That's a half, and 2 halves make a whole. And you can count the amount of cups of flour that you're putting in a recipe. You can point out shapes in the kitchen, in the living room, in the backyard. And how many circles can we find? How many squares can we find? So it's just this idea of keeping numbers at the forefront of your conversation and just pointing it out. Let's count how many birds are on that tree over there. So really it's just really simple things like that that parents can do.
That sounds like a really fun way of doing things in an organic way. You know, you don't have to go out of your way. Just do it in the regular pace of life and things that are happening right around you.
Yeah, I mentioned my grandmother. That's exactly how I learned fractions as well. I mean, now that you talk about it, I mean, coming back to me that, you know, she would say, hey, we're baking cookies today. I need a half cup. And I still have her measuring spoon. She died about 10 years ago. But every time I bake, I think about those experiences with her. So that's that's an excellent way and a very simple way in which parents can help. What are some other helpful ways in which parents who have anxiety, I know you mentioned they should try to put a smile on their face and stuff like that, but is there something else that they can do with their children to specifically reduce the anxiety that they have around math homework?
Sure. So I think there's just words of encouragement that you can use. It goes a long way. Your children really do look up to you and they model your response in stressful situations. So if you're doing a math homework and you're trying to help your child and you're really struggling, set it aside, walk away. There's no point in tears and frustration. Maybe if it's a multiplication, then you can talk about multiplication that's a little simpler and step away. Another thing I would avoid is, you know, sometimes there's games that they can play on the computer and there's timed, you know, they only have 2 minutes or they have 1 minute to do things. Sometimes these time situations can increase anxiety with children. So avoid any of those kind of situations. If you see that your child is struggling, right? If your child has grasped the concept, then beating the clock is something that's fun. So I'm mentioning the children who show anxiety and they're nervous when they're doing math. Avoid any of those timed situations. And sometimes just talking to kids. Research shows like older children before, if they have math anxiety and they're about to take a math test, if they write about their feelings and they say, you know, this is really making me feel anxious, but I remembered that I studied and I really do know these concepts. And just going through that exercise really helps to reduce the math anxiety, because the one thing that math anxiety does that robs a student to be able to do well in math is their working memory. And that is that ability to do mental math and to keep information in mind while you're pulling information from your long-term memory. But if all of that working memory is taken up with, this is really hard, I can't do this, I'm so nervous, then it stops children from being able to actually do the math that they do know how to do, right? So doing some exercise, a writing exercise, or just calming down before they engage in math homework or some kind of task, it can really help to lower their level of anxiety and get them to be able to do well.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. I know. I know we're both sitting here thinking, man, we should have a chance to do this all over again, right? All right. So talk to us a little bit about some of the games that parents can play at home with their children that can help them become less anxious about math and just begin to enjoy math.
Yeah, I love the card game Uno, especially with young kids. I think that's great. We've got numbers, we've got colors, and they can beat you at the game, and they love that, right? So those are great ways, because when it comes to number, we want to make sure that students can name the numbers and understand the quantities, right? So they can call that six, and they know that six means this many, right? That's important. So I think games like Uno is great, snakes and ladders, anything with a number line. So students can start understanding the relationships between numbers. So this is where five is in the number line and seven is two more than five and three is two less than five. And you can do snakes and ladders, or you can just draw a board game where you just draw a number line from 1 to 10 and you roll a dice or whatever you want to do. And you have to see, the child has to see if they can beat you to number 10 or number 15. And as they're doing so, they're learning numbers and their relationships to each other. So those are the type of games that I think are really helpful. Wow. Just basic things like
that. Wow, yeah. That is so amazing. We're going to definitely have to have you on again. Thank you so much, Dr. Nosworthy, for sharing your expertise with us today.
You know, the Bible gives us encouragement as parents with this wonderful counsel in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.